$10 gift card. It's not that much, but hey, you can do a lot at Hobby Lobby with $10. So I am going to, before a welcome or anything, I'm going to reach in here and not look who, and if they're not here, they don't get it. Teresa Fulton, she's not here yet. Okay. Oops. Naomi Torberson. Yay! Do you already have one of these? You do? I thought you might. So let's see here. It was the Hobby Lobby. Never mind. Yes. I'm going to give you the Hobby Lobby gift card. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm sticking that in my pocket. Have fun with that. I hope you do.
And I don't know what to do with this either. These men, how do they do all this? I guess they do it earlier than
right in front of the entire crowd
when they're ready to speak. Okay.
All right. So, many of you have gotten a little purple sheet. But those of you coming in, if you'll grab a purple sheet that's on the very back there, and then you can at least see if you can think of something really quick. Our whole theme is on thoughts and our thought life. So a lot of times we think, oh, I don't have problems with my thought life. I mean, I don't know why, but I always thought, you know, guys have problems with their thought life, you know, it's our surrounding lusting or whatever, and it can be, but there's a lot that goes on in our minds. And today, all day, hopefully the rest of our lives, we're going to concentrate on what we can do to help our thoughts be pleasing to the Lord. So, how many of you actually had a chance to work on your purple sheet there? It was ahead of time. So let's say, who has 10 of them? Does anybody have 10 examples of wrong thoughts? Okay, how about 5? Okay, Isabel has 5, Naomi. How about 6? 7? You have 7? Okay, that's very good. Tell me one of them that you have on there. Okay, did that come from this morning? I saw, just kidding. That's an excellent one. Okay, and I was gonna give one of these little emergency packs. These come from the wilds. Do you happen to have one already? Okay, they're really handy. They have, just so everyone else knows, they have subjects and then a bunch of verses about each subject. So it's very helpful in finding verses to help us when we do struggle with our thoughts or for any other time that we want a theme. So I'm going to hand out quickly these books. This is your program for today. Do you have one yet? Okay. All right. And I'll come down that other side too. Thank you. There we go. Okay. One. I couldn't give these out ahead of time because they have the little emojis in them that give you all the ideas, but it's a little game you can play if you ever have free time or you're waiting, you can enjoy that. But let's see. Bill, Jamie, another one. Oh, you got it? Okay. Oh. Okay, does everybody have one? Thank you so much. I'm going to put these in the window too. Can you one more? Okay, great. Oops. Put these back here. If you see someone come in, maybe point back there. They need to pick those up really quick. Hi there. How are you? Did you both get a handout? Okay. Great. I'll get everyone's names later because I'm not quite sure on so many of you are special guests. So we're glad to have you here. We want to concentrate on our thoughts today. What can we do with it? You have your handouts. Let's see. now we can officially start. So I just want to welcome each of you. Thank you so much for coming. You can sit anywhere, and there's some brochures on the back there that you can get a little program. And we're just going to start with opening in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for each lady. Lord, I know it's raining and it's a Saturday, and just sometimes it's tough to get out early, but each one of them have put a priority on coming to find out what you want to tell us about our thoughts and how we can make you more pleased and how we can reflect you better. So Lord, I thank you so much for all the work that's gone into the many, many aspects of this ladies' meeting. But Lord, we need you. We can't do anything, and it's all worthless without you. Will you please come be with us and help us? Lord, calm our nerves and help us to just love each other and receive what it is that you want to give us. I thank you so much for that. In your name I pray. Amen. We have a special, special guest with us. Sherry Herbert is my dear, dear friend. I can't even put into words what kind of friend she is, just priceless to me. And through the last several years, and really a long time, we've been friends for, I was figuring it up, like 25 years at least. I was pregnant with Caleb, if that tells you anything. So he's 24. But through the last few years especially, but all of her life, I have just seen how she's grown in the Lord and always working on areas to be more like him. And the last year or two has been super tough. And she's going to share some of that with us today, so I won't share any of that. But she's a precious friend to me, and I love her very dearly, and I'm excited about her speaking. Before she does, I left a piece of paper in my purse, and papers are important because we write things on them so that we can actually read them. So hold on one second. Okay. That is if I put it in my purse, right? Where is that paper I wrote everything down on? I wanted to thank people, and I am so afraid of missing someone, and I'm so sorry if I've missed you. I am thankful for you. Wanted to start off with, I'm thankful for each of you, that you would come and that you would give. You've given, many of you have given sacrificially towards a gift for Sherry, and just continuously the tithes of the church and offerings go to let us have a ladies' meeting like this. So I'm just so thankful for each of you and for our church. I'm thankful for Diane. She has been my right-hand man, my prop up my arms person. And we've had a lot of fun doing this. Gotten tired, but I tell you, we have had some very hilarious times with these thoughts. And I'll show you some of the things, but one of them is wrong thoughts. And we were cutting papers out, and we were out of wrong thoughts. And I was like, oh no, we're out of wrong thoughts. And I was like, oh, that's a good thing, right? Well, we've just had some fun with that, but I so appreciate her. I cannot even put into words, but majority of the decor, it comes from her, and you'll see next door, just so, so pretty. Carrie has just helped in amazing ways. On the walls are emojis. Emojis are kind of standing for our thoughts, because they're emotions, but they also come from what we feel within, what we're dealing with. So you have some stuff in your little program about emojis, and you also have them around the wall next door. And you'll see a lot of times our faces are showing what's actually going on in our hearts. Sometimes we can even keep it hidden, but God knows all the time. So Carrie did a ton of work with all the emojis, and there are ladies who are thinking silhouette black ladies. She did all of that, and I just so appreciate her. And we don't know where the Lord's going to take them, and I just keep saying, maybe it's here, you know, maybe it's stay here. But I love Carrie and appreciate her. Christina and Valerie have handled all of the food. So next door, we've done some fun things this year with charcuterie boards. I don't know if you are familiar with them. Some of you probably are and some are not. But where there's a big board and it has just a mix, and it just looks so pretty. And they've done a ton of work and are still working over there. So I appreciate them so much. The Chapins cut their vacation short, their little trip they were taking for their anniversary, I think, cut it short so they could come back and do the sound, and so Mary could be here. So I'm so thankful for that. I appreciate them so much. We have some hello workmans that are on that are on live stream, that without Brother Dave you probably couldn't hear me, but also they wouldn't be able to watch. So, and there's some missionaries, I think, so we'll see if any of the missionaries are actually watching. But anyway, so we appreciate them. Hannah drove from South Carolina, my daughter Hannah. She's giving a testimony today, and I am so excited about it. Nothing blesses a mother's heart more than your child growing in the Lord and then ministering together. I'm not going to cry. But it's a blessing, and I know she sacrificed a lot, and I only gave her 15 minutes. And it's hard to tell all that the Lord has done about a big thing in 15 minutes. You know, so she even put up with that. So I appreciate my Hannah. And then Cherry, wow, I've already said she is just precious to me and lives in Missouri. She's a pastor's wife. She has a full schedule, fuller than I could accomplish. And to come leave her family and come here and all of the preparation for hours and hours, believe me, I know how many hours go into preparing. And she's speaking three times today. So that's a big, big deal. I appreciate her coming and all that. And then there's the nerves. And it's like, that's the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate of out of my comfort zone. And it doesn't matter how sweet you are, it does matter how sweet you are. Be sweet and look, show it on your face. But it's just it's nerve-wracking to get up in front of people and to share. But I know the Lord has given her some special stuff to share. So we're so thankful for that. Thankful for all of the families of these people. The men, they actually do quite a lot. They put up with it, or my husband clears things of schedules so that I can do it. And I said, can I get you some breakfast this morning? I said it like that. He's like, you know what? I think I'll get my own breakfast and lunch. And so our families also give, and I'm thankful for that. But most of all for God. God has been at work already, but now is when we are waiting to see what He's going to do in our hearts. And that's something people can't do at all. So I'm so thankful for our God. He's provided His word that gives us anything to even say, His spirit to help us. And He can speak through humans, which is amazing. So we're super thankful for God. But now I'm going to let Sherry come. And I've given you an extra 5 minutes. So so if you want it, fine. If you want to end 5 minutes earlier, it's fine as well. But I will move my stuff.
Good morning. Put my old lady glasses on. And if I see you, I can't see my paper. So I put my glasses on so I can see my paper. And then I can't see you because y'all are blurry. So and that helps me relax. It is a tremendous privilege to be here today. I am very grateful for the opportunity to speak to you. It forced me to study more than ever. And that helps me, and I'm grateful for the things that the Lord showed me and the study that I was able to do. And I just want to share with you some of the things that God has taught me specifically over the last 2 years. For the last 18 years, my husband has been pastor of a little church in Higginsville, Missouri. We're a rural community, so a lot of our people are farmers, and so gardening and farming and big hay bales is a common sight in people's backyards where we're from. And we love it. It was a great place to raise our family, our kids. I'm very thankful that God put us in Higginsville and that has allowed us to still be there. I'm very grateful for that. We have 4 grown children. Alexis is our oldest, and she was born here. My husband and I were actually married in that little building next door. 27 years ago, and then Alexis was born while we still lived here, and She's 20. I'm sorry, I'm really not accustomed to these things. She just graduated with a RN degree, and she is a nurse at North Kansas City Hospital. And she still lives at home, but she's moving out next week to get her own apartment and be on her own. She has a real grown-up job, and she loves it, and she's doing very well, and it's really exciting to see that. Definitely, this was what God's purpose for her life was, and that's really neat. Amelia is our second, and she is 22. And she's almost finished with college. She has about a semester, maybe two semesters left. And she works as a waitress in a pizza restaurant. So she just works and is trying to finish school. Avery is my only son. He is 19. And he currently works at the same pizza restaurant, but he's supposed to start the 1st of September at a GM factory in our area, which will be really good. A grown-up job for him, so full-time man's work, so I'm excited about that for him. Ashlyn is 18, and she just started her freshman year at Bob Jones, so 2 weeks ago, I dropped off my last child at college, and you know, the first was really painful, the second and third were not terrible, but the fourth was really bad, and when we originally scheduled this, Lisa had sent me a text and said, "Hey, when are you taking Ashlyn down to Bob Jones?" And so I gave her the date, and then she asked me to do this at the same time. I'm like, that would work great. I come down, take Ashlyn, we'll just make one trip. And then, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago, I texted Lisa. I said, "Any way we could change the date?" They moved up Bob Jones' start date 2 weeks. And so now I'm going to have to come twice to North Carolina, or you know, work this out, and there's just no way to change it. And it actually ended up being such a gift, because now I get to see her today. So dropped her off 2 weeks ago, and now I come back, and we're gonna go down to Greenville and spend the day there. So I'm really excited about that. So it really ended up being a blessing from God that he changed that date. And she has a longer break. She'll come home at Thanksgiving and not go back till mid-January. So I'm really excited about that too. Provided they stay in school, right? Just don't close school, just keep going. So that's my family. That's the stage of life I'm in. And we're all at different stages here. The young children stage, done that, survived that. And then, you know, the elementary stage, and then the high school stage, and then the empty stage. And I haven't survived that yet, because I'm just entering it, so we'll see. And some of you have been through all of that with beauty and grace, and it's just an encouragement to those of us in the stages we're in to look ahead to the ladies who have been through those stages, and we can learn from you, and I'm so grateful for that. When Lisa first asked me to speak, and she said that it was three times, almost 3 hours, I just couldn't get past that. I was like, there's no way. And to be honest, I'm kind of a fast-paced person, so what you say in an hour, I'm probably going to say in 30 minutes, so I just don't know how we're going to get that much done. But the more I studied, the more I realized if I'll slow down, then I definitely can fill 3 hours. And my husband is also a fast-paced person, so shortly after we were married, and we were expecting our daughter, my mom said to me, "I just don't know about your kids, Sherry. You and Jeremy are so fast-paced, there's no hope for your kids." And it's true. I think all of us are, except for my son. He was just slow. And I think my whole life, my dad told me, slow down, and I told my son, hurry up. Anyhow, that's just a little bit about us. And I also just wanted to, share with you a few things that I thought of when Lisa asked me to encourage you, because you may find yourself in the same situation and asked to speak. And the fact is, we all want to say no, you know, and you don't even have to think but 2 minutes to have a plethora of reasons as to why you should say no. But we are required to teach other ladies. Every one of us in here needs to have a ministry to another lady. And I, years ago, just really wanted to know as a lady, what does God require of me? And the Bible has a lot of things specific to ladies, and that is one of the things, is to reach out to other ladies. And that doesn't mean you have to do what I'm doing, but we all should be reaching out, discipling, teaching another lady in some form. So I want to encourage you to do that. And for me, I just had to view this as an opportunity to do that and another chance to be obedient to what God has called me. And an opportunity specifically to praise him for what he's done for us. My second session is really going to be where I'll tell most of our journey in 2019. This first session, I just want to focus on some of the more negative parts of it, and we're going to end in the good parts. So I hope that I can convey the truth of this with compassion and not just rush through it. But I want us to see how our thoughts can be sinful. And Lisa kind of touched on this as far as we often relate sinful thoughts to men. And most people, or preachers, when they talk about sinful thoughts, are going to focus on the men. And we've long been accustomed to the idea of men need to battle their thoughts, they need to fight their thought lives, and so forth. But we as women need to battle our thought life just as well. They're different thoughts, but we have this same battle, and we need to fight it the same way. And that's with truth from God's word and equipping our minds to be focused on him. All day long, our minds are running. What we have to do, where we have to go, what we need to take with us, what appointments we need to make. And it's just a constant mirage of things that are running through our mind. We lay awake at night, unable to sleep with stuff running through our mind. So even, you know, when our body should be resting, our mind is still often racing. For me, it's what do I have to do for my husband today? What do I have to do for my kids today? As a friend, am I meeting someone for coffee? Do I have someone in need I need to reach out to? I'm also a daughter. Do my parents need something that I need to take care of or help out with or, you know, just check in with them? I'm an employee. I have a boss. All my responsibilities at work. Am I meeting them? Am I doing the best of my ability there? I'm also a church member. I'm a pastor's wife, but I am a church member, and I have things and responsibilities at my church as a member as well as a pastor's wife. So, you know, the list goes on and on. And there's nobody that's exempt from that. We all have those relationships and those things that fill our lives. We all have stuff going on. They can be a distraction. So I want us to kind of focus on putting aside those things in our life and bringing our thoughts into captivity so that we are not cast down. Our thoughts are not taking control of us, but we are taking control of our thoughts, like 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5 says, that we are taking them into captivity, our unholy thoughts, and we are setting our minds on things above, according to Colossians 3:2. So that's what Christ has asked us to do, to take our thoughts under control and the control of the Holy Spirit, and to set our mind on things above. The Bible has a lot to say about the thoughts we think and what God considers to be unholy thoughts. We often have definitions of unholy thoughts in our minds, and Lisa had an activity where you did to go ahead and write down some unholy thoughts ahead of time, which I thought that was a great idea, just, your wrong thinking. But we need to have the same definition that God says are unholy thoughts. It's great to come up with our own ideas, but we want to make sure that they align themselves with God's word and that we don't have what we think are unholy and leave off what God says is unholy. just imagine if your husband or your father or your brother, any man that maybe you know that are close to, came to you and said, you know, I was driving down the road and I saw this lady and her car was broken down, so I stopped to help her. And when I got out of the car, you know, I didn't realize, but she barely had any clothes on and she was leaning over a car and I could see down her shirt and it was a terrible thing and I didn't mean to, it just happened. You know, I just been thinking about that all day long. I just can't get that out of my mind. And, you know, I just decided that's just the way I am. That's just the way God made me. I can't help that. We would be horrified And we would say, no, that is not true. You can control that. You can't help that you saw that. Your intention was good. You wanted to help. This is what you came across. But you chose to think on that all day. You chose to dwell on it. The same is true with our thoughts. And we allow our minds to be consumed with fear and discontent and worry and anger and unforgiveness. We choose to dwell on those things. And just like we want our husbands or our brothers or our fathers to put unholy thoughts out of their mind, we need to do the same. The first unholy thought we're going to talk about is fear, worry, and anxiety. And I'm going to kind of put these together, and although in the technical sense they have some things that separate them, we're going to talk about them all together. I don't really have time to separate them all out and cover it all. So fear, worry, and anxiety. These are common thoughts that we allow to occupy our mind every day, all throughout the day. We have much to worry about, right? We have our future, our health, the safety of our children, the safety of our parents, if I'm going to make it on time, if I'm going to get everything done, our finances, our country, the political state. I mean, it just on and on. There's no lack of things to worry about if we allow ourselves to. So I want to look at what the Bible has to say about, first of all, fear. And we're actually told 63 times to fear not. Fear not. Do not be afraid. There's no deep meaning to these words, ladies. It's just do not be afraid. And do not fear. We don't have to look deep into the Greek to find out what that means. But something specifically that we are not to fear, two things, is the fear of man. Okay, Proverbs 29:25 says the fear of man brings a snare. And when you have the fear of man, it destroys your relationships. You're worried about what so-and-so thinks about you. Therefore, you do not have a close relationship with that person. You're worried about, you know, what your husband is going to say. And you're worried about that your children are going to embarrass you. All these things are just part of life. And if we are sit there consumed with the fear, the Bible tells us that brings a snare. The snare is a trap. It's a trap to you. Don't allow yourself to be ensnared in the trap of the fear of man. The other thing the Bible tells us not to fear is the future. Matthew 6:34 tells us our Heavenly Father knows all that we need. Okay? We don't need to fear my husband's about to get laid off. Although these are common things, and please don't think I'm being harsh here and saying they're not a big deal, because they are. But we cannot be consumed with a paralyzing fear about their job situations, about my job situation, about your health, your well-being, all these things. God is the one that is in control, and He is orchestrating these things in your life to bring His good purposes. They are not bad things. We need to yield ourselves to trust in Him, not to fear man, and not to fear the future. Those are two specific things that God told us not to fear. And fear of the future pretty much encompasses everything. So remind yourself when you start struggling with those things that God has told me not to fear, that I am to trust in Him. We are told to fear some things, or someone, I should say. We're told 10 different times in the New Testament to fear God, okay? I am not to fear man, 63 times, I'm not to fear man in the future, and 10 times told specifically to fear God. So if you're struggling with fear, it ought to be the fear of God Himself and nothing else. We are told to fear the Lord, or have the fear of the Lord, 30 times. And the fear of the Lord always has positive results. And I thought this was really neat, because almost every other fear is going to result in a negative response. Our fears and our lead to negative thoughts. Whereas the fear of the Lord leads to positive things. And I have some of them listed here. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Well, we all want to be wise, right? Nobody wants to say, I want to be stupid when I grow up, okay? And years ago, a Bible study that I was doing, I don't even remember what it was. I think it was on Elizabeth George, but she said, choose 5 things you want to be known for at the end of your life. And she called them her fat files. But back then, people filed stuff in papers. We don't do that. I don't do that. It's on my phone. She said, make 5 fat files and fill them, you know, over the course of your life, things you want to. And one of my fat files back then was I wanted to be a wise lady. I wanted to know what God's word had to say. And so I studied Proverbs. We studied it here as a youth, one whole year. But just in my devotions, I was always adding that in. And so one of the things to be wise, to have knowledge, is to fear the Lord. Proverbs 14:27 says that the fear of the Lord is a wellspring of life. I just thought that was a beautiful picture, and I can imagine in my mind a spring of water and just the green grass around it and this beauty and peace that that picture paints for you. And the Bible says the fear of the Lord is that to you. It is a wellspring of life. Proverbs 14:26 says the fear of the Lord gives strong confidence. Again, these are positive things. These are stuff we would all like to have in our life, a strong confidence. And that's, of course, in Him, not in ourselves. Proverbs 10:27 says the fear of the Lord gives us prolonged days. Nobody says, I want to die early. And nobody says, you know, I want to spend years suffering in sickness. We want health. We want to be well. Live a long, healthy life. Of course, to be with Christ in heaven is far better than anything we could imagine here. But one of the blessings of fearing the Lord is a prolonged life. Isaiah 33:6 says, the fear of the Lord is a treasure. And I think once you really learn to fear God, fear the Lord, understand who He is, that becomes a precious treasure in your life. And you draw from that in difficult times. So we know that God has said not to fear. Not to fear man, not to fear the future, but to fear Him. To have the fear of God, to have the fear of the Lord. And that those are good things in our life. So then we want to see, what does God say about anxiety? Philippians 4:6 says, be careful, and that word means anxious. Be anxious or be careful, be worried about nothing. And that's pretty straightforward, ladies. Be anxious about nothing. And it goes on to say, instead, with prayer and thanksgiving, bring your requests to God. And I'm absolutely convinced that prayer and thanksgiving are a solution to anxiety. Proverbs 12:25 says, heaviness causes the heart to stoop, and that heaviness is anxiety, and stoop means depressed. So anxiety causes our heart to be depressed. It weighs us down. We don't want to be weighed down with anxiety. Instead, we want to have a heart that prays and gives thanks to God. Anxiety never makes things better. It only makes things worse. Nothing is helped by anxiety. You know, our thoughts don't generally move in a positive direction. If we become worried or anxious, they go negative real fast. And we start, well, what if this happens? And what if this happens? And all of a sudden, our child that has a fever of 100 is suddenly now in our minds in the hospital and you're calling family, you know. And it goes that way like that. And so we need to learn to bring those into captivity. Not allow those thoughts to control our mind. And, you know, fear is an emotion that God gave us, and it can work very good in our lives if used the right way. Fear is going to keep me from going out at 1:00 in the morning and walking down the street. Why? Because I'm afraid that something bad is going to happen. In that situation, it is a good thing. And God gave us that for certain purposes. It is when we allow it to get out of control that it is not okay. And so that's what I'm talking about. Please don't misunderstand and say, Ms. Sherry said I can never be afraid, so sometimes fear is helpful. My children, when little, they were afraid of getting a spanking. That was a good thing, okay? That helped them be more obedient. So that's, please understand, that's not what I'm talking about, and understand the difference between those. So what does God say about worry? He tells us in Matthew 6, 25, 32, and 34, so three different times in this little passage, to take no thought, don't worry about your life, your food, your body, your clothes, or your future. Now I think he pretty much covered it all right there. And those are his words. Every area I think that I could worry about, he has covered right there. And he says, don't worry about those things. I've got it covered. I'm your Heavenly Father, and I know what you need. You don't need to worry about these things. And then he says, and ends this passage with, the Gentiles, which are unbelievers, crave all these things. And when I read that verse, that really hit me hard, and I realized it is unbelievers. That's who the Gentiles are. They're craving security, a safe future, to know that everything's going to be okay. That ought not be what believers crave. We ought to crave security in our Heavenly Father, not in all these things. The second unholy thought we're going to talk about is anger. Proverbs 14, 17, and 30, verses 32 and 33, says that anyone who is quick to anger is foolish. Proverbs 22, 24, and 25 says, don't be friends with an angry person. You know, we kind of have made Facebook rants okay, and it just almost makes me chuckle when I see, you know, like, sorry, rant here, and then this long post, you know, I'm like, I don't need to read that. I don't need my mind to go there. But what point did we as believers think that that was okay? Let me just put all my garbage out here to 800 of my friends and 800 of their friends, because they all want to know my garbage. And, you know, I thought, that's kind of funny, but really, God has spoken very clearly about being angry, and it's not okay. And if you find yourself angry on a regular basis, I really encourage you to do some extra study on that. 1 Corinthians 13:5, love is not easily angered. If you are easily angered, you are not showing love. Matthew 5:21 and 24 says he was angry with his brother is in danger of judgment. That's not a place I want to be in. Proverbs 27:15 and 6 says an angry woman or a contentious woman is annoying. Well, I want to be annoying. she's annoying like a constant drip on a rainy day. Now, there are a few people who like rainy days. I am not one of those people. but most people do not like that. You know, it just kind of puts a damper on things. The Bible says an angry woman is that way. Our current society calls them Karens. And if you know what that is, then that makes sense. If you don't, ask me later and I'll explain that to you. Okay, if your name is Karen, I really apologize. It's not a good thing right now. Proverbs 19:19 says an angry person will suffer great punishment. James 1:19 and 20 says we're to be slow to wrath. Proverbs 19:11 says a wise person defers anger. Proverbs 16:32, a person who is slow to anger is better than the mighty and those who seize or take control of a city. You know, it's a pretty big task to take a city. The Bible says you're better than that if you are slow to anger. Galatians 5:19 through 21 says the angry will not inherit the kingdom of God. Let's not let our lives be characterized by anger. We should not be angry ladies. And these begin in our thoughts. Anger that comes out began in our hearts and in our minds. Jim Berg said in his book, God is More Than Enough, He said, there is no generic anger. There is only a heart believing or thinking certain things, wanting certain things, choosing certain things. And anger is his impassioned method of getting them. You want something, you choose something, and so you become angry as a display to get what you want. I think that's a pretty big deal. And God makes it clear in scriptures, we are not to be angry. The third unholy thought we're going to look at is unforgiveness. And I think this is something that we all have at some point, and maybe don't even see it. You don't realize that you have, allowed a spirit of unforgiveness to take root in your heart. And so it's often important to kind of ask yourself some questions. Am I constantly irritated with someone? If so, you probably have something there you didn't forgive them on. Are you highly critical of an individual? You probably have something that you have not forgiven them on. And so it's real important to ask yourselves those questions. Why does unforgiveness matter? You could say, it only affects me, right? Doesn't matter if I don't want to forgive them. They don't even know. Well, the Bible says that that's not true, and we want to think true thoughts. The Bible says that unforgiveness changes our relationships. Proverbs 18:19, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and contentions or fightings are like the bars of a citadel, a strong place. These contentions can become in our life, and they're hard to break through. Proverbs 17:9 says, unforgiveness separates chief friends or intimate, close friends. Friendships are destroyed because of unforgiveness. Often there are ministry casualties because of unforgiveness. And there were two examples of that in the Bible. There's one with Paul and Barnabas in Acts, and they're debating whether or not they should take Mark with them. And it comes to a pretty sharp conversation, so much they have to part ways. And all fine, God ended up working it out for good, part of his plan. But even in ministry situations, you have that. And then Paul tells them in the Philippians, in chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, there's two ladies, Euodia and Syntyche, may not saying their names right, but anyhow, these two ladies, and obviously they're having some contention. And Paul says, help these ladies. Don't let them continue in this contention. They need to forgive each other for the benefit of the whole church, that you can be united together as believers in Christ. Unforgiveness is a big deal. So we can't just come to church and say, that lady over there, I know she said this, but what she really meant was this, okay? Don't do that. And often what follows that is you avoid them, you withdraw. And so she regularly sits over here and you used to sit right behind her, but you're sitting way over here for the next 6 months. Make sure you don't have to see her or talk to her. Ladies, those things are wrong. They bring dishonor to Christ. He is honored by our unity as brethren. He tells us that it is sweet and beautiful for brethren to dwell together in unity. And when we have unforgiveness in our hearts, there is not unity. And so we need to repent of that unforgiveness. Recognize it for what it is and ask the Lord to help you forgive. Christ has forgiven us so much, so much. And he wants you to forgive your brothers and sisters in Christ. And those, maybe it's someone who's not a believer. Still, Christ has asked you to have a forgiving spirit toward them. For unforgiveness often causes us to have untamed tongues. And like I said before, we become harsh and critical. We say things that we probably normally wouldn't say, but because of that unforgiveness, we're unduly harsh. And there's some examples of that in Matthew 5, 21 and 22. God said in Matthew 8, 22 and 35, and in Luke 17, 3 and 4, that we are to forgive over and over. And he uses the phrase 70 times 7, like 490 times if you want to do the math. The fact is, is we're not keeping track. We're not counting 435, 436, got my 490, I'm done. No, is that we forgive and we forgive and we forgive because it's right. You know, if you're going to have any happiness in your marriage, you're going to have to learn to forgive. And it's not going to be just once. It's going to be over and over. And there'll be times maybe you need to forgive your children. Your children have hurt you. Maybe you have hurt from other people, and they keep doing it over and over. And God has asked you to forgive them over and over. And to have the right thoughts toward that person, to not allow those unforgiving thoughts to reign in your heart. They always come out. They never stay hidden. In Matthew 6, 14 and 15, and Mark 11, 26, God tells us He does not hear our prayers. Our sins are not forgiven. Our prayers are hindered when we have the spirit of unforgiveness in our lives. That's never a place that I want to be in. I don't want my prayer life hindered because I have an unforgiving spirit. And I don't want my relationships hindered with other people. And then we're told in Colossians 3:13, we are to be forbearing, and that means putting up with one another. Some you put up with a little bit more than others, but that's okay. And we are to be forgiving one another, forbearing, long-suffering, and forgiving. These are not commands that we can overlook. And then the fourth unholy thought that we're going to look at is discontent. And I think this one can be extremely subtle as well, like unforgiveness, and we don't see it. But it grows really, really fast. Jim Berg said, again, in the same book, God is More Than Enough, discontent is the dissatisfaction of not having what we decided in our unbelief about God, that is, that we must have in order for life to work. Okay, so we are dissatisfied and we don't believe that He is giving us what we need. In order for our life to work, in order for us to be happy, we have to have certain things. Now, I have a fairly lengthy list. I'm going to go through this quickly of things that we become dissatisfied and discontent with. And I'm sure that you will find yourself in one of these circumstances, okay? I'm just going to go through them, but I want you to think and just listen. And if one of these touches an area of your life that you have been dissatisfied on, I want you to think about it and how you can change in that, okay? So the first section is if only. If only my boss, my spouse, my parents would understand me. If only people appreciated me more. If only I had more freedom or more money. If only I had better health. If only I had fewer doctor bills. If only I had more answers. If only I had not messed up. If only I had not been abused. If only I had not gotten drunk. If only I had not made that bad choice. If only I had grown up with different parents. If only I had different brothers and sisters. If only I had different spouse, different children. If only I were married. If only I were single. If only I were married to someone who loves me. If only I were married to somebody else. If only I had finished college. If only I had not run away. And then we have the by nows. By now, I should be married. By now, I should be rich. By now, I should be through college. By now, I should have a higher paying job or a family that respects me. I should be debt free, at least have a glimpse of that. I should have a decent home. Or the I don't like. I don't like my circumstances. Like my job, my spouse, my standard of living. I don't like to depend on other people. I don't like to admit that I need help from other people. I don't like that my body won't let me do what it used to. I don't like to having to work hard when everybody else has it easy. I don't like to work hard when nobody else notices. That is a lot of discontent. But we rattle off those thoughts in our mind all the time. And lady, the problem is not these things. It's how we view them in our dissatisfaction, our discontent in the situations that we are currently in. James 1:14 says it is very dangerous to have a lust for more. And discontent is a lust for more. It is not an okay thought to let run through your mind. All these things that I went through, kind of chuckle at, and some of them are funny. But we have to change them and view them as sinful thoughts. Like the man that talked to you about the thoughts he saw and he struggled with all day, we have to view our thoughts in the same way. They are unholy. Fear, worry, and anxiety, unforgiveness, discontent, anger, these are unholy thoughts. They originate from Satan. He breeds discontentment and dissatisfaction in our hearts. We cannot allow him to take control of our thoughts and our minds. We have to take our thoughts under captivity. We have to yield our thoughts and our minds to Christ to let him be in control of them. The Israelites had clear issues with discontent. No matter what God seemed to do for them, in a very short time, they were going to be complaining again. Many chapters in the book of Numbers goes over and over that. Numbers 11 through 16 pretty much just tells them God's blessings, they're happy, they forget, they complain, they hit this cycle over and over. Definitely something that we can learn from by looking at the Israelites. Romans 1:21 talks about people that were not thankful, and their thoughts became empty and foolish. 1 Timothy 6:6 says, contentment with godliness is great gain. Great gain is obviously something we would all like to have. Nobody wants to continue on in meager portions. Timothy tells us that contentment with godliness is great gain. And Philippians 4:11 says contentment is learned. It is something that we need to practice and work at through the power of the Holy Spirit. It is not something that we naturally do on our own. So asking the Lord to help. You will not find yourself discontent and thankful at the same time. Those two do not coexist in your heart. You're either one or the other. And, you know, we're heading into fall. I love fall. And everything starts with, you know, hashtag blessed, hashtag thankful. Okay, ladies, it's not a hashtag. It's a thought life. It is a thought process that needs to continually be put into our lives. Holy thoughts of contentment, of allowing our lives to be ruled by peace, not fear and anxiety. One of the other things that I would have loved to touch on, and I did kind of speak, I'm right about there, are the negative effects that all these things have on your body. And we really don't have time to go into it, but stress, fear, anxiety, worry, discontent can destroy your body physically. They take a toll. Headaches, lack of sleep, ulcers, upset stomachs. I mean, the list is very, very long of the things that these spiritual issues can do to your physical bodies. And so I really want to encourage you that the impact of these things is widespread. It's vital to your spiritual well-being to have the right type of thoughts, to have a relationship with Christ that's flourishing and growing, and you see his peace and his blessing in your life, And that doesn't mean that things are just good. You can have those things in difficult times. You can have that peace when you are focused on Him despite what's happening around you. And I think we allow ourselves to think unholy thoughts because life is hard or you're going through a difficult time. And that exception is not in the Bible. God did not say in all these things, well, be content unless, or, you know, don't fear or worry except in these situations. The only exception is to fear Him and to fear the Lord. And so I just want to challenge you today and leave you. And like I said, ladies, this is all the bad part. It's going to get better. There's hope at the end. That to recognize these thoughts is sinful and to not pass them off as, that's just who I am. Yeah, I really just struggle with anxiety. I have for the last 20 years. If you find yourself in that situation, there is help. There is real help and real hope, and it is in God's Word. And I'm not trying to minimize it in any way. People deal with real physical difficulties, but the real help and the real answer, the real peace, the peace that passes all understanding, the peace that God gives us is different from the world. He says in John 14, my peace I leave with you, not as the world has to offer. His peace is different, but is only found in getting to recognize our sin. That is the first step. And that's what this session was about, viewing these things as sinful, not as okay, not as just a normal part of our life, that's just who I am. But we recognize it as a violation of a holy God who loves us and died for our sins and wants us to live a life obedient, victorious, and full of peace in Him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word that points out the sin in our lives. Without it, we would continue with no knowledge. So when it's hard and it's painful and it seems ugly to hear these things, help us to be grateful that it's through your word we can be pointed in the right direction. If we're sick, we go to the doctor so that we can find out the solution to be made well, to get help with our needs. So God, we've come to you today to help with our sinful thoughts. We want to be ladies that think holy thoughts before you. And as you said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And that is true of a lady. And we want to think in our hearts thoughts that align ourselves with your word, that they are not thoughts of fear, worry, anxiety, or anger, or unforgiveness, or discontent, but that we would put away those sinful thoughts and look to you to change our thought process to thoughts of peace and forgiveness and contentment in you. We ask all these things in your Son's name. In Jesus' name, amen.